Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome. This is News Talk 830 WCCO in for Chad, me, Dave Schrader. Josh Wheeler, we are a week away from Christmas.
Are you prepared yet?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm waiting on it. I'm the procrastinator.
You're procrastinators.
Yeah.
So you're not prepared for it.
I mean, no. I wait till the last minute for my Christmas shopping, unfortunately. But when you get to the age that I am, a ripe old age of 32, what do you really buy? I mean, I'm not looking for toys anymore. I'm not looking for games or, you know, video games per se. I try to find time in my life for video games, but that's, you know, here and there.
Well, I'm at the ripe old age of 57, and I'm still into toys, so, and games.
We know.
Yeah. I'm all about that. I'm not prepared either. Nine grandchildren, 11 children. I have gifts for about five people so far.
There you go.
You know what I'm stressing about?
Mm.
And I'm just curious, are our fellow twin citizens dealing with the same kind of stress? You can hit me up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Money does not go nearly as far as it once did. I could spend $100 on each kid and have 10 gifts underneath the tree that were cool gifts that they were excited about. $100 now doesn't even cover most of what my kids want. For one item. And that is giving me such anxiety. It is causing me so much stress and pressure because I don't know what, literally, you got to draw a line, you know, 100, 125 bucks a kid maybe.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, what can you get for anybody that they actually want that's going to be below that? And, you know, I that's what I'm really running into is like I said, about four or five of the people in my family, I'm okay with. The little grandkids, they're easy,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I can buy them a bunch of $10 items. They're just psyched to open things up. The rest of my family, I just am so unnerved about the fact that this Christmas, underneath the tree, there's going to be like 11 gifts.
Yeah.
Total that I bought for one for each kid.
When in doubt, go to Dollar Tree.
I know. I don't want to have it break on the way home.
I mean,
theoretically, allegedly.
It's Christmas. Nobody's going to remember next year when you got a Matchbox car and it broke on the way home.
Ugh, Matchbox.
I mean, they might not forget. But,
yeah. Those aren't Matchbox cars unless they're made of a Matchbox that you're buying from the Dollar Tree. I just don't know. I've been watching. I'm one of those guys too that I try to watch year round for when things go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look for a good deal and put it away for the holidays. And then what happens is 3-4 years from now, I'll start cleaning out my closet and find all the gifts that I put away to give my kids next year that I forgot about. And I'm sure I've probably got Barney books in the corner for my now 30-year-old son because I forgot to give them to him back when I bought them.
I mean, I'm 32. My reading level is still Goodnight Moon, so it works.
So I should wrap them up for you?
Yeah, maybe it works. Works for some people other than outside of others.
All right. I will I'll keep that in mind as we go forward. What's your plans, folks? Are you ready for the holidays already? Are you stressing out like I am? What are the gifts that you give to people at this stage when it seems like no matter what the budget is you set, the gifts that they want far exceed your budget? Or, now there'll be not multiple gifts, but just one gift under the tree. And I'm just beating myself up too much, but I think I've set a precedent, Josh Wheeler.
We are also in the window right now where you almost at this point have to do – still got a couple days depending on who you go through or who the various retailers go through, but we are now in the 2 to 3 day window of – now you need to do next day express. Now you need to do some of the higher shipping options because you waited till the last minute. I did notice last week, and I talked about it with Adam the other day, FedEx seems to be the most flexible right now because they still have if you order on, I think the 23rd or 24th, you still get it pretty much like if you pay the top dollar, top brass, you get within the day.
Right. So you pay $100 for the gift and $25 for the shipping.
Yes.
The stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, one of the listeners pops in and says, if they're over 15 to 16, just give them a gift card and let them get their own stuff. I did that last year.
Where do you stand on gift cards as gifts? I feel like it's almost the it's the safe gift, but it's also the lazy gift. There was a segment on CBS Sunday Morning over the weekend that I thought was actually kind of comical and kind of entertaining. They kind of listed off a handful of the gifts that just don't do, and they kind of defined one of them as gift cards are kind of the lazy gift. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I don't know what to get you, but here's this. Like, there's not a lot of thought put into gift cards.
Right, but here, I will be the devil's advocate in favor of the gift card. You buy a $100 present, there's one gift under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You give somebody a $100 gift card, and they, wow, $100. There's that perceived value.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at the gift under the tree, and you're like, oh, I only got one gift. Whereas there's so much potential with a $100 gift card.
That's like me. Sometimes I'll give somebody, either whether it's Christmas or a birthday card, I'll give them a card and give them a dollar, and I'll say, don't spend it all in one place. And that's kind of what I'll do with the $100 in this economy is, here's $100. Don't spend it all in one place. Yeah,
that fills your gas tank to get you home after celebrating holidays with one another. I've done the gift card in the past, but again, I do feel icky about that because it just feels like you said, I like there to be some sense that I heard you, I know you, I wanted you to have this because I knew this was important to you, or I thought this from my soul, from my heart would be a good gift to you.
I'm also, when it comes to giving people ideas, because my family and my wife are big on, okay, I need you to give me a list of things to get.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of maybe a pair of studio headphones, because Lord knows we don't have a lot here right now, I do need to get myself a pair of headphones, and that's definitely one of those things that's on my list that I'm like, outside of that, I don't know. I'm 32, I work for a living, and I don't really need a lot. I know there's a lot of people listening right now that will agree are in the same boat where,
yeah, I buy what I
really
want.
I don't need, like, if I have a job, if I need to get something, I'll buy it. I don't really, I don't feel comfortable with people buying stuff for me.
Yeah. And like an me, I drive my family crazy because being an adult, when there's something I know I want, I just go get it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, why didn't you tell us? And I'm like, because I didn't want to wait till Christmas. I wanted it now.
Yeah.
It's July. But now I don't have any idea.
You're gambling on them not getting it for you.
You know what? So. Before we go to break, I'll mention one quick thing. I have learned a valuable lesson from my children. Mm-hmm. I started sending them, as I'm scrolling, doing the death scroll on social media, and I see something that intrigues me, I'll send them a link, and I'm like, Dad would like this. And I've been told, Dad, that's a scam link. It's not, it says Walmart. When you click it, it takes you to buymygarbage.com or whatever. So I've learned that now even the stuff I'm interested in and I send to them is, a lot of the stuff online is coming from an unreliable source. You have to be careful.
Yeah.
You have to be aware of that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. And joining us at the bottom of the hour, this is so strange. I love true crime. I'm fascinated by true crime documentaries, but I don't get all the excitement and love that horrible people get. Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, Richard Ramirez, the Menendez brothers, getting love letters, being proposed to while in prison from a fan base. I need to understand more about that. Dr. Carol Lieberman will join us at the bottom of the hour to chat about that. That's just some of the things on tap. We'll come back and discuss more right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back in for Chad Hartman. I'm Dave Schrader. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open. We're getting some responses here. Hey, guys, I love a gift card. Most gifts I get are like, really? I don't get all that excited about it. That's one thought. Another one jumps in and says, giving thoughtful gifts of experiences to the kids and the grandkids. That's nice. Right. Maybe take them to the water park. Take them out to a play or a concert that they're interested in.
Yeah. I do know a lot of people either do gifts, especially married couples. They'll do gifts for each other, or they will say, hey, you know what? Let's just go. It's kind of like some are for the holidays, but I know some are like rain check. Like, hey, in June, let's go do this.
Right.
Some will be like, hey, let's go to New York for the holidays, which is cool, too. But I'm also not a fan of buying a plane ticket for a week out, because that's not financially ideal unless you are really strapped with cash. I don't know.
Yeah. Or so. You check up Priceline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I will mention this for people that are on a budget and looking for some good gifts. If you go to Amazon.com, over on the left side of the screen, scroll down. Somewhere in there, you're going to find their clearance section. You'd be amazed at what you'll find in the clearance section, from clothes to electronics to toys, all of the stuff you're looking for the holidays. And a lot of times you get really good discounts. So go check that out for yourself. That's saved me on more than one occasion, and I have gotten some good deals off that. So thank you to the listener that popped that up to remind me of the clearance section. So here's another thing, right? The listener brought up coming up with gifts of experiences. So Now, picture you're planning that weekend getaway, Josh, right? You found the perfect hotel. You got the unbeatable price.
Yeah.
You scored tickets to the concert you've been dreaming about seeing. You're about to hit that purchase, right? That purchase button.
Yeah.
And then, boom, all of a sudden you start seeing all the hidden fees, like a stealthy ninja, that just start adding up. All your dream trips kind of fall to the wayside. It's like a nightmare for your wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the real question is, do these what they're calling junk fees, the surprise resort fees, convenience charges, and service fees, do they actually keep you from going out, traveling, or enjoying the experiences you love? Or are they just annoying prices that we've come to accept? So if you'd like to weigh in on that, I'd love to hear about it. If you have ever had to cancel plans because of these fees, and what would a world without them look like for your next adventure? Well, that may not be so far in the offing to know. You can connect with me on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Josh, the hidden ticket fees and vacation rental charges appear that they're about to be banned in America.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tickets for everything. When I first read the article, I thought maybe it was an event type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it was DeRussia has had this conversation on one of his shows before, too, where if you go to MSP and buy a plane ticket, you're saving, I think, anywhere from $40 to $80 with certain airlines. I think it's Spirit and Sun Country specifically, on extra convenience fees. And it's like, well, I that's one of those words, those terms I never understood, is why are you charging me your convenience fee if I'm saving you and everybody that you're staffing at your workplace, whether it is a hotel or an event or even an airport? Why are you charging me all these extra fees and convenience fees for making it more convenient for both parties by paying online? So that's I think just extra fees in general just need to be just gone.
I agree, because to me, it's crazy. The Federal Trade Commission has proposed a new rule to ban these so-called junk fees.
Yeah.
So that these unexpected charges that pop up in everything from hotel bookings to concert tickets don't have that kind of impact.
You go to a Vikings game and you're paying almost, you know, the same price you are for a ticket for extra fees.
Oh, I know. So I love live shows and concerts.
I do, too.
And lately, I've had to stand back and rethink it, because I'm like, all right, tickets are already for a good concert, $100, $125 and then I get done and I've got $50 in service fees.
Yeah.
And now I'm at $170 to $200 for a $110 ticket.
It has pushed me away just doing so many things because at face value you see, oh, I can go to the Wild game for $17. You pull up the total when you get to the end of the Ticketmaster routine and it's like, oh, your ticket is now $35. It's like, no. I don't think I should be paying double what the ticket price is.
It's funny. There's a lot of the.
Let's pull it back.
There's things like StubHub and Fanimal and some of the different ticket online sources. Mm. They say no convenience fees.
Yeah.
And you go look at it. No, there's no convenience fee. They just charge you what it would be if there was a convenience fee.
Yeah.
They just remove that term.
Yep.
Which is crazy. Perfect. We've got a caller on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Catherine from Minnetonka, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you. This is back to the gift card versus gift thing.
Sure.
And I will say it is absolutely, in my mind, dependent on the recipient. I have had a 91-year-old mother who taught third grade for 35 years. And when it was time to move her out of her house, we had to find a home for 47 World's Best Teacher mugs and over 100 ornaments that said my favorite teacher. And she loved every one of them, and some of them were from the early 80s, but a gift card would have been so much more appropriate. You know, it was just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
If it's a person like a teacher, they always appreciate the money. Even if it's Starbucks or something like that, I think it's just a nice thing to do. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much for listening and weighing in. We appreciate it. One of the other listeners just said, Dave, Josh, the beauty of gift cards, and this is a good piece of advice, is that when they spend them after Christmas, they can get things 50 to 80% off. So that $100 gift card is worth maybe $150 or more.
It has its pros and cons, for sure.
We were talking about the convenience fee. One of the listeners popped in on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line and says, I had to pay more to buy vehicle tabs in person than online. Yeah, to me, not having to wait at the DMV, sign me up. I'd pay $5 extra to not have to stand in line. But that's me. I'm weird like that, I guess. the fees for attending events for when you go into a hotel now, you know, you used to be able to go into Vegas and the hotels were the least expensive part of your trip because they want you there spending money at the tables. Now you're spending money for the parking.
Yep.
You're spending money for the resort fees.
If you drive. Yeah.
For the state tax fees, the convention center fees. I'm like, I'm not attending a convention.
Yeah.
And my $69 deal I got on my hotel room at MGM is now really $189 a night. And I'm like, I didn't bring a car, so why am I paying a parking convenience fee? Yeah. Why are all these things being tacked on? Plus, then they're hitting me, well, we're just going to automatically charge you for internet and phone charges. And I'm like, I'm not here to use internet and phone. I'm here to, you know, gamble, see shows, visit with friends. So there's a lot of that. I'm glad to see that the FTC is standing up and taking a harder edge look at this. Now, will that actually change things? Will we start to see these fees go away? I certainly hope so.
Vegas also hides the down payment because I've had to kind of just scoop that off the internet before whenever I go to Vegas. It's like certain hotels, certain properties do 50, certain do 100 per night. So I always have to be prepared. Yes, what the M Rewards thing is telling me with all my offer that I applied to the hotel room, it does show that price, but in my mind, I'm like, all right, it's going to be four nights, 100 per night. So in total, it's going to be 400 plus whatever the price that they're showing on my screen right now. So
right, you always have to kind you of get that money back.
You get it back,
yeah.
Which it's make-believe money, as I like to call it. It's floating out there. It comes back to you. It kind of is wiped from your statement, basically. It's kind of how that works. But they definitely give it back to you, and that's kind of one of those things too that they don't put on the surface with some of the hotels as well. I don't know about outside of Vegas, but for sure Vegas is.
They get so stressed too. My dad likes to live off the grid. He is not a guy that wants to use his credit cards.
Yeah.
He likes to pay cash,
yeah.
And they like break a sweat. They're like, "Well, no, we'll charge a card." And he's like, "No, I'll just give you $100 a day
and then I'll come back at the end of this and you pay me back whatever I don't spend. Yeah. And they're like, well, we don't do it that way. We do it on the card. So I've had to put my card in for my dad to be able to get his room or get these deals because he doesn't want to use a credit card because of all these stupid little extra fees that come in and go. Not sure if I'm too late for this conversation, but I'd like to do things. I like to do things like do a gift or breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or give them a gift card and tell them to send me a picture of them with what they picked out or a pic of them having coffee at the place. Yeah. I gave them the coffee card. And that comes from Lynn from Chaska. That's a great point, too, Lynn. My grandkids, they would tell me, Pop, I want the Barbie dream house. Yeah. I'd go buy the Barbie dream house. And then my son and daughter-in-law didn't like how big it was, so they would trade it to the neighbor for the RV. And I spent $200 on the dream house. The RV was $40. And I come in, I'm like, where's the dream house? Oh, mom and dad traded it. So now I just give the grandkids most of the time money. And then what's nice is my daughter and son-in-law will take the kids out to buy something. And then when they pick something out, they call me on the way home from the store to say, hey, Pop, thanks so much for I got this and I purchased that. Then I know that what they've purchased is okayed by their parents, yeah. is not a problem. And I am still getting that, you know, they're aware that this money came from Pop, that it's still a gift from me, even sometimes a month or two later before they decide to spend that money.
Yeah. And, so. I do want to reiterate because before we go to break, something that Harrigan brought up the other day that, you know, if you're out shopping today or whatever, you want to be mindful of when you see a price online, it's not always going to show up on the same price on store. You do unfortunately have to kind of go to the cashier and say, hey, I want to price match this. But sometimes a lot, and this happens a lot because I work at Target part-time as well, people will go through the line and pay for it mindlessly and not remember to apply what the online price is. And they'll be like, wait, it's $49.99, but I'm paying $89.99. According to this receipt. Well, that's because you didn't apply the discounted price that is posted online, which you can use as a price match option while you're there. So there's a lot of these, not necessarily fees, but it is kind of goes along with the,
and on top of that,
not putting things on the surface.
I always, when I'm in those stores any time of year, if I go in and I see something I wanted and it's on sale on the shelf and there's a sale tag, I take a photo of it with the sale price. And then when I take it up to the register, 9 times out of 10, it comes up full price. Yeah. And then I break out the phone and I show them what the price on there is. So I don't have to wait for them to call Lou from the back to go check the price. And then they give me a hassle. Well, that's not for that one. It's for the other one. I'm like, it's right here with this set. This is what was the sale price. So make sure you are watching that, because if you're going in for sale prices, like you said, a lot of us in such a rush to get out of there, I watch that ticker like a hawk, and I'm watching for a sale price to drop. And if it doesn't, I pull out the picture and I show it to him. We need to take a break. We'll come back in for Chad. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Newstalk 830 WCCO. All right. We're all fascinated in one way, shape, or another by true crime, right? Obviously, because of the amount of shows that exist out there giving us insights into the world of these serial killers and heinous crimes that take place. Unfortunately, about 25 years ago, I lost a very good friend and two of her children to a brutal, brutal murder. And following the case and the three convicted felons, it has been heartbreaking to see that they're on dating sites from prison so that you can date prisoners, and seeing that they're getting responses and results from people blew my mind. I mean, who writes love letters to convicted killers? And I know, Dave, don't be judgy. There's somebody for everyone. I'm going to be judgy. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be judgy. I can't wrap my head around it. A few years ago when that Ted Bundy documentary came out, I was absolutely astounded by the social media response watching adult women talk about how hot he was and how he could have had them and not even had to have been violent about it. And I'm like, are you watching the same show I'm watching? Are you hearing the same stories that I'm hearing? But it doesn't seem to affect or impact some people. And it may sound unbelievable, but some of the most dangerous people behind bars, from Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, Richard Ramirez, all the way up to some of the documentaries recently highlighting like the Menendez brothers, these guys are receiving heartfelt love letters and even marriage proposals from women on the outside. What could possibly draw these people in? Is it that thrill of danger, the the fantasy of taming the untamable? Or is there something just deeply rooted in their own personal histories? I needed to know more about this. So today we're joined by Dr. Carol Lieberman, a forensic psychiatrist, award-winning author, and expert on the psychology of relationships. In her book, Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them, she identifies 12 types of bad boys, including the lethal lover. Now, this explains why some women are irresistibly attracted to them. Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Dr. Carol Lieberman. Dr. Lieberman, help me understand this insanity.
Hi there. Yes, I can understand why it would be even more baffling and disturbing when you've lost someone close to you. This is a phenomenon, a long history of it, really. It goes along with the general issue or general phenomenon of why women love bad boys. And in my book, Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them, I talk about 12 different types of bad boys, and the worst type is the lethal lover, the type who's in prison, who these women write letters to and sometimes come visit and sometimes marry. You know, we've heard about, like with the Menendez brothers, they got married. So why is this? Well, it has to do with the girl's relationship with her father, a dysfunctional relationship. And it can be dysfunctional in many different types of ways. And depending upon how it's dysfunctional, it will point the woman, attract the woman unconsciously to a particular type of bad boy. So, for example, just to give you sort of a benign example, one of the kinds that of bad boys that and girl attractions that's most common these days is what I call the frazzled frog or the fixer-upper lover. And this is because there are so many more divorces these days. With each generation, there get to be more and more divorces, and that affects the children. That leaves scars on the children, boys and girls. And for girls, it makes the girls feel as though their father, they're afraid of any kind of a relationship where the boy might leave them. They're afraid of abandonment. So they pick because they were essentially abandoned by their father when they got divorced. I mean, even if, you know, not saying that it's always the father's fault that people get divorced, but typically the father will more likely go off and get another girlfriend or another family. And so the daughter feels as though she's been abandoned. So she looks for a man, again, unconsciously. She looks for a man who's going to need her the most, who seems least likely to abandon her. And this is a guy who doesn't have his act together. He doesn't really have his career launched or anything much in the way of a career or a job. And his room or apartment looks like a college dorm room, you know, with pizza boxes all around. And basically, he's like a little tadpole. You know, he just hasn't gotten his life together. So the girl is attracted to him, and they get together, and she puts his life together. You know, she nurtures him and helps him in all different aspects of his life. And helps him to get his life and his act together. And what happens then? The guy runs away. He decides, well, you know what? I'm pretty cool now. I can get somebody better than her. She put up with me when I was like nothing. And so he hops away and he finds another woman. Now, the bad girls and bad boys, you know, I wrote a book afterwards called Bad Girls. What they have in common, all of them, is that they are heartbreakers. They just break men's and women's hearts in different ways. So to get to the women who are attracted to the killers, the lethal lovers, these women have had very cruel fathers and a very cold home, like very missing in love. And so she grows up to feel as though she is worthless. I mean, all women who go for bad boys essentially have a feeling that they are unlovable and don't deserve a good boy or a good man who will treat them like a princess. And so, but especially with the Lethal Lovers, especially with the relationship that, a girl has with her father, who goes towards a Lethal Lover, she has really been made to feel as though she is totally worthless. No man is ever going to want her.
Well, and I understand that to a level. You know, there's one thing with picking the guy at the bar that's maybe loud, braggadocious, he's drunk, I'm going to fix him. He's the diamond in the rough, or she's the diamond in the rough. This is somebody that I believe in, and they just need my love and attention. There's something different behind that. I could almost understand that, and I've probably been in that relationship myself on the other side of things. But to know you're contacting a rapist, murderer, violent criminal, and thinking, ah, there's some real potential here. That I cannot wrap my head around. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back. Okay. Dr. Carol Lieberman, our guest, will discuss that when we return right here to News Talk 830 WCCO. It's 12:50 p.m. Time for the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to get a free heat map analysis with an insulation estimate. Check it out at Lindis Construction. Our guest, Dr. Carol Lieberman, we're talking about bad boys. Why do people love the bad boys, bad girls, prisoners, violent offenders? Is it the ultimate safety net? Listen, this guy can't leave me because he's already incarcerated. He can't step out on me. I'm still having trouble wrapping my brain around this, Dr. Lieberman.
Well, I was giving you the basis, the foundation. I will go more into, you know, the foundation for bad boys in general. So now I'll go more into the why women are attracted in particular to this type of bad boy, which is the Lethal Lover. And that is for a number of different reasons. Well, I was describing about how the woman who loves the Lethal Lover has the coldest, most cruel kind of house, grows up in the coldest, most cruel kind of house. She is attracted to the Lethal Lover because, one, you know, as you said, yes, this is a man who can't get out, who can't have, or so they think, can't have relationships with other women. You know, so because if the woman feels so bad about herself, her father has made her feel like no man is going to love her. She feels she's, you know, always worried that some man is going to cheat on her then because he's going to find somebody better. So it seems like in the jail or prison, these men, the woman thinks, isn't going to be able to get out. However, in fact, that is the this is, you know, these men are heartbreakers too, because this is their little secret. In fact, while they're writing all these flowery letters to this particular woman, they're also writing and having these long correspondences with and so on with other women. And, you know, as exactly. much as he may tell the woman that, oh, I want to marry you. You are my love. You are saving me. You know, I can't wait till I get out because then I can be with you, et cetera, et cetera. He's saying the same thing to three other women. And in fact, one time when I was on Sally Jesse Raphael, do you remember that talk show?
Oh, sure do. Yep.
Her topic of the day was women who love men in prison. And she had three different prisoners. And the women who loved them. Well, they each, two of them had one woman who was their girlfriend and thought they were engaged or were going to be married and so on. And then Richard Ramirez, there turned out to be two women who showed up to do the show, who were invited, you know, and the producers knew there were going to be two women. But they didn't know about each other. And they were so outraged that he could possibly be having a relationship, so to speak, with some other woman and promising her the same things. They both thought they were going to be marrying Richard Ramirez. Now, Richard Ramirez, just for your audience who doesn't, who if anyone doesn't remember, because it was a while ago, you know, he was the Night Stalker, and he would rape and torture and murder these many women. He was a serial rapist murderer in California. And so they got into a brawl. That's how surprised, shocked, and outraged they were. They were just started brawling with each other.
And I had to go down and try to explain to them that this is a man who was a serial rapist and murderer. You expect him to be truthful about who he's
right.
going out with?
Right.
His relationships? You don't expect him to be a liar? So anyhow, I mean, fortunately, they had bouncers, you know, security guards, but so it kind of calmed them down, but just temporarily. I don't know what happened after that. Anyway, so other reasons why women are attracted to these men because one other reason is that they feel as though if they take the nail or the thorn out of the bad boy's paw, you know, like the bad boy is like a lion circling the village. Everybody's scared of the bad boy because he's a murderer usually. And if she could be the one to tame him by her love and his love for her, then she will be the most powerful person in the village because she's the only one, she thinks, who was able to do it. So that's another part of it. And, of course, another part is, depending upon who the person is in jail, like if it's someone who's well-known, you know, like the Menendez brothers, or a good example is going to be Luigi Mangione. He's going to get a ton
right,
of
sadly.
Women
yeah.
wanting to marry him, because not only because he's adorable, but because, you know, there are women who agree with what he did.
You know, it falls on even journalist and author Truman Capote. When he was working on the book In Cold Blood, he was interviewing the two killers and fell in love with one of them during the work on this. It is just inconceivable to me the concept of looking past. You know, I mean, it's one thing to look past somebody who, you know, maybe slept around in their youth. It's another thing to look past somebody that murdered 18 people in their youth. There's something off-putting by that. I, you know, like I said, I guess there's different strokes for different folks. People are going to find love where they find love, but it is very disheartening that there is this sense of power that people gain from knowing notorious or nefarious killers. There's an entire industry built on murderabilia, which is collectibles from serial killers. And it's absolutely bonkers. The book I want to mention again is called Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you so much for weighing in on this and giving us some insight on this today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. It is weird, folks, and I'm watching the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line blow up as people are talking about this. And, you know, one person said, Dave, they're talking about the actor from the documentaries, not the killer. They thought the actor was hot. No, that's what I thought initially, too. Go read the actual deals. Start looking up comments about these killers. There are Reddit posts about that. There are posts on Twitter X where there is a focus and love and adoration for the killer, not the actor. So strange. We'll come back. Drones everywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does it mean? We'll discuss it next right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.